Today's Teisho will be on case 54 in the Book of Serenity. Introduction. Oh, case 54 is entitled Yun Yan's Great Compassion. Introduction. Crystal clear on all sides, open and unobstructed in all directions, emanating light and making the earth tremble in all places, subtly exercising spiritual powers at all times. Tell me, how is it manifested? Case. Yun Yan asked Dao, what does the great Bodhisattva of compassion do with so many hands and eyes? Dao said, it's like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. Yun Yan said, I understand. Dao said, how do you understand? All over the body is hands and eyes. Dao said, you said a lot there, but you only got 80%. Yun Yan said, what about you, elder brother? Dao said, throughout the body is hands and eyes. Verse, one whole emptiness pervading, crystal clear on all sides. Formlessly, selflessly, spring enters the pipes. Unstopped, unhindered, the moon traverses the sky. Pure jewel eyes, arms of virtues, all over the body. How does it compare to throughout the body being it? The present hand, hands and eyes reveal the whole works. The great function works in all ways. What is taboo? So I want to thank everybody for coming to practice on this beautiful, beautiful morning and sitting so deeply. And thank you so much for making an excellent effort. It's really so important. This is a wonderful koan, really a beautiful koan. Everybody probably knows who the Bodhisattva of compassion is, Guan Yin, right? Or Avalokiteshvara. That means the one who hears the cries of the world. So, Avalokiteshvara, Guan Yin, Kanon, is the Bodhisattva who is most aware of suffering, right? Sharangama Sutra, we learn that the Bodhisattva of compassion became enlightened by hearing, through the faculty of hearing. So anyway, this is a koan about the Bodhisattva of compassion. And it's, what does the Bodhisattva of great compassion do with so many eyes and hands? And then there's this other stuff which is a little hard to understand. I have been sitting with the results of the election, right? So I believe since our last Saturday sit, we had an election in the United States. And I must say that I live in a neighborhood where every house had a Harris Waltz sign in front of it, you know. So I got up like everybody else on Wednesday. I didn't stay up all night, and I discovered the results. And I have to say that when I look forward at what might be coming, I realize it's going to be very challenging, right? I'm going to keep sitting, to deal with that. It's a little shocking to me, actually, to see people who are devastated by this result, even though it was a pretty shocking result in some ways. And it brought me back to 2016 when Mr. Trump won the first time, and it was a total shock to everybody. And I went into my office the day after the election, because we had school, we had, and the person who was my associate, this wonderful person who I've worked with for many years, was in her office, and she was sobbing. And I went to the, we had a faculty meeting that day also in my department. We had a department meeting. And, you know, people I know and very much respect, one person was about starting to speak, and he said, "I just have to stop a minute. You know, I can't deal with last night's events," right? And I know a fair number of people who have sort of responded this way too, to the election. And it, I have to say it, it's, I myself had all kinds of worries and concerns about the election. But, you know, when something like this happens and we're pushed into like a tailspin, you know, that's a really interesting situation, isn't it? Because, I mean, look, I came of age during the Vietnam War, right? And at that time, the French had been basically driven out of Vietnam by the Vietnamese. The French had colonized Vietnam, and they actually waged a guerrilla war, and the French basically left. And then we stepped in and took over the guerrilla war. And I remember seeing just day after day these terrible, terrible photographs of Vietnam. And, you know, people in Vietnam getting napalmed and so on and so on. My father was a military officer who was actually stationed in Vietnam. He actually served two terms of service in Vietnam. So, you know, when he would come home every 6 months, we would have arguments, right? But the thing is, you know, it was part of my upbringing, I guess part of my experience, to see that this was, you know, part of our world. Right, part of our world. And, you know, there have been, the terrible things that happen in the world haven't stopped, right? So they've just kept going. And when something like this happens to us and it shakes us or it causes us a lot of emotional distress, it has that effect on me too, I have to remind myself, what world have I been living in? You know, what world have I been living in? And I think we all do this. I'm not criticizing, right? You know, we all try to create a kind of barrier around ourselves. And we want to be around people who are nice. And that's a good thing. And we want to be around, you want to do things that are, like, I like to be around people who are nice. Most of them share my worldview. I like to do things like zazen or hiking. I like to read great literature. I love poetry. So I kind of create a bubble for myself, and I think we all do this. And when something like this happens, it's really challenging, because it's like what? Somebody didn't vote for. You know, everybody in my neighborhood has the Harris signs out everywhere. It's like, what? How did this happen, right? And I'm not criticizing us, me, you, for trying to live in a happy world and you know, doing things that are wholesome and good. That's what we should be doing. But, you know, we can create a little bit of a bubble where we forget what's outside that world. Right, and sometimes people don't want to know, that they make sort of a habit out of not knowing. So I know many people who have said, to me, that's it. You know, I'm not going to look at the news for 4 years, or, you know, and actually I think that's almost healthy. I think it might be good. Please don't listen to the news day after day and go crazy. You know, it's like these appointments to government positions, it's like the Batman villains are running the country, you know. It's like the Joker is running the Treasury and the Penguin is in charge of Health and Human Services, right? So it's so bad, right? And you know, you could just let this eat you up, or you could you know, create a little fence around yourself and, you know, try to screen it out. And, you know, both of those are viable strategies, you know. But I think it's really, when something like this happens, it's like a wake-up call, right? It's a wake-up call. And, you know, we, I was born after World War II, but one of my best friends in Seattle, I remember going over to his house, his apartment, to have lunch. And his mother made us lunch, and I looked, she was serving lunch, and on her wrist she had numbers, tattooed numbers. She was, you know, going to be exterminated, right, by Hitler. She escaped from Germany, but she had the numbers on her arm, right? And I was just a little cousin, what are those numbers, you know? And so, you know, we can't function, it's true, if we just think about that day and night. But when something like this happens, you know, it's a wake-up call. You know, we can live in kind of a bubble where we just don't tell the truth about human beings. We're just not telling the truth, even though the evidence is all around us, right? We don't tell the truth. You know, and you know, right now we can go through the whole, we can go, you know, I read a lot of news, right? You can go to the Sudan and you have these two generals fighting over the country and the people are actually starving while this civil war is going on. You could look at what's happening in the Middle East. You know, if you look at this in the wrong way, you know, you could just say, oh, people are really terrible. And many people reach this conclusion, you know, human beings are terrifying creatures and I wish they didn't exist, right? And and then there are people who say, that's it, I can't take all this, and for good reason, because it's overwhelming. And they just say, I'm going to make my world, it's going to be a nice world, and I'm going to try to screen that out. But when something like this happens, like the election, you know, putting it into perspective, it's not like what's happening in Sudan or in the Middle East, right? It rocks our foundations. But then I think, you know, this is kind of a good thing. It's like, you know, according to Buddhism, right, the baseline human being is motivated by greed, anger, and delusion. That's a fact. That's what it says in the sutras. You know, it says greed, anger, and delusion. And it says, you know, that's sort of like the raw human being. And so, you know, when we look at people like Mr. Trump, you know, Mr. Trump is so good at personalizing everything that it all becomes about him. But you know, when you sit down on the cushion and you meditate, you know, after a while, it's my experience that when I sit down on the cushion and I meditate, after a while, I stop being curt. You know, so I'm curt a lot of the time, but when I sit down on the cushion and I watch my breath, I stop being curt, and I'm only curt like intermittently. It's like, there's awareness, and then sometimes I return to being curt. It's like I self-reference. And then I'm awareness again, and then I self-reference. And then I'm awareness again, and I self-reference, right? Curt puts in an appearance occasionally, but, you know, if you say, well, what is this thing that's meditating? If it's not curt, what is it? And, you know, the Buddha's view is that it's like a system of energy habits. You know, like the human being is like an energy field or a system of energy habits, right? So when I started meditating, I was suffering from, I think, a kind of a low-grade depression. And after practicing for, you know, a number of years, I just suddenly realized, one day I got up and I realized, oh, it's been a long time since I've been down like that, you know. So you know, why was I down? You know, we as we're alive, you know, we pick up these energy habits. We develop these habits in response to our surroundings. And they can become very powerful and determinative in our life. But, you know, they can also dissolve and go away. You know, that's the whole purpose of meditation. So if you say, well, when I meditate, who is it who's meditating? Everybody is sort of like an energy system. This is really, I think, true. Everybody's like an energy system, and we have these habits that we've developed over time. We don't develop them all. We inherit a lot of them from our culture. They're products of our upbringing. You know, I don't fully understand why I was sort of moderately depressed when I was in my mid-20s. But you know, I had developed that sort of baseline consciousness of really being like sort of emotionally empty, sad, you know. I created that, or that created me, you know. But after meditating for a while, it sort of went away. I used to have quite an issue with anger, as a matter of fact. I remember once I was crossing a street and somebody turned around the corner and almost hit me and my wife when we were living in Seattle, and just drove on. I was so mad I actually chased the car. And I think my wife was a little shocked that I was just explosively angry. You know, after meditating for like, you know, a decade, you know, I think a lot of the sources of that anger dissipated. It's like, you know, purifying your body, mind, and heart on the cushion really means undoing all of these energy systems, right? So you kind of become like transparent. After a while, there aren't these like knots in your energy field, if you want to put it that way. So anyway, what does this have to do with Mr. Trump? Well, Mr. Trump is really not a person either, even though he thinks he is, you know. He's really not. Mr. Trump is not. He's just an energy field. He's just a bunch of habit energies. This is why, by the way, you know, as you know from Western religious tradition, there's this idea that at the end of time, all the bad people are going to be judged and sent to hell, or actually they'll be exterminated. If you read the Bible, it says they will cease to exist. So they're all going to die forever. And the good people are going to heaven, see? So it's like that we can solve the problem of evil by getting rid of the bad people. Right? That's such a, if I may say so, that's a really simple-minded solution. So Buddhism says that's not going to work, right? Because the people are not bad. Actually, you know, Trump is just a collection of energy habits, right? And actually, even if you kill Trump, and, you know, that would be a very bad thing to do, even if you kill Trump, there'll just be another Trump. In fact, there's a bunch of them lined up, right? And you could say they're all bad people or they're all evil people. And that's so tempting. You know, we want to make this about personalities. It's like that Matt Gaetz, Attorney General? You know, are you kidding? You know, But it's really not about Matt Gaetz. It's not about Trump. And when we make it about Gaetz or we make it about Trump, we're actually in illusion ourselves. So once we understand that there really isn't a Trump, there really isn't a Matt Gaetz, they think they exist, but they don't. That's really true. They think they exist, but they don't. We think we exist, but we don't exist in the way we imagine we exist, as stable, permanent selves endowed with a core of being that is our true nature, right? Not Buddhist true nature, but our true, like, true self, right? That's an immortal soul or something like that. So look, if you begin to realize that we're not fighting, are we fighting? Yes, we're fighting. We're fighting, and I want to say more about that. But we're not fighting people. We're fighting habits. We're fighting energy habits. We're fighting destructive ways of thinking and being, right? And as soon as we turn it into a struggle with people, we have fallen into illusion, because there are no such things as people. There are just these energy habits, and this is not a rationalization. You know, if Donald Trump had had a different family, if he had a different history, he might have turned out to be a different person. You know, it's just a fact. You know, if Hitler had had a different upbringing, if he had a loving home, you know, somebody to encourage his artistic temperament, he would have turned out to be a very different. You could say, oh, no, he was essentially a murderous maniac, but that's not true. Nobody's essentially anything. So you know, the press is in its own world, right? Not a Buddhist world. You know, they essentialize people's personalities and make it all about people. But, you know, don't fall into that trap of thinking, oh, it's Trump. It's not Trump. It's a greed, anger, and delusion, right? Greed, anger, and delusion. And, you know, what we have to do is, you know, you can eliminate the person, but what really has to be transformed or transmuted are the energy habits, right? So, you know, it's important to support conservation, wildlife conservation. It's important to support political action. If there's a demonstration in D.C., I will go, you know. So I'm not saying we should be politically passive, right? But, you know, as soon as you turn it into a struggle with people, with evil people, you have caught yourself in a trap.